KFFB is 106.1 FM. This is Bob Connell thanking you so much for joining us for day number three of our open mic program. And today we're talking with Senator Mark Pryor about energy. And Senator, one thing that it seems like a lot of people were coffee shop talk that you were quoted as saying, you're not ready to throw coal industry. We've got 200 to 400 years of supply of that. And that surprised a lot of folks, but it's kind of practical common sense, it seems like to me.
Well, the thing about coal is this. Coal does emit a lot of carbon. We have to be honest about that. And I think we need to invest in research and try to invest in technology to shrink the carbon footprint of coal. But the truth is that we have every incentive in the world to do that because we have about 300 or 400 years worth of coal to burn in this country. In fact, someone said last year, they said we're the Saudi Arabia of coal, and that's right. It's a great energy source for this nation. If we can figure out a way to make it burn cleaner and more efficiently, then we would really be able to help our long-term energy picture in this country. So I don't want to throw it away. I want to invest in more research and try to get the best and brightest out there working on trying to make coal a good long-term solution for us. The other thing is that I'm very comfortable with nuclear. I think people in Arkansas are comfortable with nuclear. We've had Arkansas Nuclear One for, 30-plus years, maybe longer, down in Russellville, and it's very safe. It's very clean. You know, the only question with nuclear fuel is what do you do with the spent fuel or the nuclear waste? And I think what we ought to do is we ought to do like what, you know, France or Japan does. And I think there's different ways. Again, some of this is new technology and some of it's old technology where you can go and either send it through a process and reprocess it to make more fuel, or there's also a way that you can blend it with some other things and basically take a lot of the radioactivity out of it. So I think we ought to do that, and I think we ought to make a big commitment to nuclear. And this is going to be important because later this year, probably after we do health care, whether we're able to pass that or not, I don't know, but after we take on health care, I think we'll move to climate change and a big energy bill. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be very complicated and difficult, and I know people will have very strong opinions about that, but I think you'll see a climate bill come through the Senate later this year.
When we look at the energy, what about natural gas? That seems like a hot topic here with the Fayetteville Shell and all.
Natural gas is a very good, clean energy source. And the thing that we need to do with natural gas, I think, is, of course, to make electricity with natural gas is fine. But I think that we really need to be smarter and more dedicated to use natural gas in vehicles. You know, we've had natural gas vehicles for a long time. In fact, in Washington, D.C., pretty much all the city buses have a thing on there that says this bus is running on clean natural gas. And, you know, it just they are clean. It is a lot cleaner than diesel, and it is better. But right now, natural gas is more of a fleet fuel. So things like city buses and a few other things, some school buses, et cetera, they run on natural gas because they all come in and they can refuel in one spot. I think we need to get smarter about propane and also liquid natural gas to try to allow that to be much more of a vehicle fuel than it is now. At first, it lessens our dependence on foreign oil. Secondly, and we have an abundant source of natural gas, not just here in Arkansas, but all over the country. We have a lot of natural gas. But secondly, it is a lot cleaner, and it's good for the environment, and you know, I think it's a good, you know, hopefully at some point we'll get to a place where we figure out a way for like a zero emission vehicle. I mean, that'd be great. We're not there yet. And I think natural gas would be a really good, smart fuel for vehicles for the next, you know, 10 or 20 years until we can figure out a way to get some sort of zero emission vehicle.
Now, one thing that a lot of folks have talked about, the ethanol, 10% ethanol, and that really wasn't the most efficient source because it does take so much to process. Then it messes up our whole world economy on, I guess, corn as well. So that's something that doesn't seem like you either hear that as a hot topic anymore.
Yeah, I think the way that we need to look at ethanol is this. Ethanol makes a lot of good sense, and it should be part of our mix. However, we need to get ethanol sources that are not food sources, because if it's competing with food like corn and even soybeans to some extent with soy diesel and things like that, you know, what you're doing is you're competing and you're causing food prices to go up and feed prices for animals and things like that. So the future of ethanol is in cellulosic. I mean, there's a lot of promising research. In fact, in Batesville, they're doing some of this over at Future Fuels, the old Kodak chemical plant. I mean, they're doing some really good stuff over there. But, you know, the idea would be that, I mean, this may be an oversimplification, so don't take it too literally, but the idea would be that basically it's almost like you could mow your yard and take those clippings and make energy out of it. And that's what you want to try to get to. But that's cellulosic ethanol. It's not ready for the market yet. There's still a lot of development and research that needs to be done on it. But depending on who you talk to, you know, we may be 2 years away from that. We may be 15 years away from that. But science is telling us that that is the way to go. And there's just a lot of potential with cellulosic ethanol. So I guess I've always thought of, say, corn ethanol as kind of a more of a near-term solution that needs to be a short-term solution. But the real long-term solution will be cellulosic. And, you know, here again, I mean, Future Fuels, hopefully them and many, many other companies around the country can develop this and make it where it's marketable and it's actually cost-effective to get out there and do cellulosic ethanol.
Well, it's like biodiesel, and that's another thing for Future Fuels and Batesville works on. Biodiesel is another, it's kind of a neat opportunity for them to help the energy.
Right, and biodiesel is really pretty much ready for the marketplace now. Like with anything, some of that is going to depend on how much oil costs, because naturally it's a market, and you know there's a point where it's cheaper to have oil than it is to have biodiesel. But they are doing great things there, and last time I was there, at least they had a pump that was kind of open to the public. People could come and fill up with biodiesel there, and it works and it's good. Now you know you have some practical issues like, will the manufacturers warranty an engine that's using biodiesel? And the answer is yes, more and more are, but not all are yet. So, you know, there's some practical issues with that. But I'm going to tell you, if we can figure out a way to make our fuel out of, you know, sort of wasted products like, you know, like I mentioned, grasses and even woody material that, like, you know, when people are doing timber, they leave about half the tree out in the woods. If they can somehow capture that and make cellulosic ethanol, make biodiesel out of things like that, it would be huge.
And we also, it's really neat to be a senator from Arkansas. Think about it. You got Future Fuels, you got the natural gas. We also have wind power. Big factory does work with wind in Little Rock.
We do. We have LM Glass Fiber in Little Rock that make the huge windmill blades, and some of your listeners have probably seen those driving down the road. They're so long, they're almost like a science fiction movie. But, you know, there's another windmill company that's going into Jonesboro. They had an announcement a few weeks ago about that. So I think they're out there breaking ground on that right now and getting that up and running now. So this is very promising. We don't have a lot of wind in our state, at least not yet, given the technology that's out there right now. We don't have enough wind to really be cost-effective on that, but we have great transportation. And so they can make it here, and they can ship it to the west and to the north of us, to the Great Plains, and that's where the wind is. And it's just Arkansas just happens to be in a great spot for that manufacturing and that distribution. So, you know, that's very positive, and that's one of those – they call them a green-collar job. That's a green-collar job right there, where you get alternative energy, and, you know, it's going to employ a lot of people for a long time.
Talking with Senator Mark Pryor on day 3, day 4 coming up. You stay tuned for KFFB's Open Mic.